Craig Custance from ESPN, the magazine, the senior NHL writer, joins us as we go around the NHL, brought to you by CycleWorks. Craig, how you doing?
Doing well, Jason. How are you?
Excellent. Have you ever sang karaoke?
Yes, sadly I have. But you know who the team karaoke guy at ESPN is? Pierre LeBrun. Nobody sings karaoke like Pierre.
Really? What's his go-to?
He is a 80s. I don't even know if I should be sharing this. I don't know if he. No, he's fine. He would be fine with it. He likes his 80s hair, big hair band, like Guns N' Roses and Bon Jovi and that kind of thing.
Okay. Well, hey, why not? I love it. That's good. So the ESPN parties have a regular karaoke flavor. I like that.
Yeah, you know, he's our music guy. He runs the jukeboxes when we go out. Like he goes right to the jukebox, puts his money in, and doesn't move, and he runs the show.
I love it. I love it, and I'm sure you guys got a lot of road trips, having some fun. The NHL playoffs. You know, the first few rounds at times when people were a little skeptical, being really defensible, especially the New York Rangers, and now suddenly the Tampa Bay Lightning are scoring on Henrik Lundqvist for fun.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing what's happened in that series, and to me, it's a continuation of what we saw with the Lightning against Carey Price. I mean, they get hit with Carey Price and Henrik Lundqvist, the two best goalies in the world. And I give John Cooper a lot of credit there in Tampa because he's kind of removed the mystique with those goalies and has pumped confidence in his guys, and they're producing offensively, and it's really amazing what they're doing against those guys.
And this is something they've done in the regular season as well. I think the stat was Lundqvist has been scored, given up five goals five times, and four of them is to Tampa Bay. When, you know, that the triplets line has done it all year. They've been exceptional. But what is it about the system that John Cooper has in Tampa that the New York Rangers, despite a very good defense core and an excellent goaltender, can't stop?
Well, I think a lot of it is where the shots are coming from. And you have to give the Tampa Bay Lightning credit because they're getting really high-quality shots in the slot. And if you look at a shot chart against Lundqvist, it's pretty impressive in what they've been able to do. And especially against the Rangers, because that team has kind of historically been so good in front of Lundqvist of, you know, making blocking shots and making sure there's not really good second efforts. And I know, like, in speaking with people with the Washington Capitals, there was some frustration because they were missing the nets on rebounds. They weren't getting an opportunity to bury those second chances. And the Lightning, to their credit, have, and it's showing on the scoreboard.
Craig Custance joins us. What can the Rangers do then to slow them down and change that?
Yeah, that's a great question, Jason. I'm sure that's the debate with New York. But, I mean, they have to go back to doing what they were doing, and that's winning those 2-1 games. I mean, the last thing these Rangers teams need to do is get into a shootout with the Lightning. And even though I think we're all the beneficiaries, like when they get down and they start to open things up, it's actually been a lot of fun to watch in these high-scoring games. But at the same time, it's not working for them. I mean, really, they have to get back to doing what they do best, and they just need to tighten it up defensively, get another low-scoring game, and try to win 2-1.
On the other side, the Anaheim Ducks, fresh off a devastating loss in Game 2, come back into Chicago, a rocking place, and pull out the victory. Freddie Anderson, another solid, solid effort. And Simone Dupre right now looking as maybe the best trade deadline acquisition in the NHL.
Yeah, pretty amazing story right there. I wrote about him today, and you know, for when the Anaheim Ducks got him in return for Ben Lovejoy, that was, I mean, it kind of got buried in all the transactions around the trade deadline, and he's been just an incredible fit from Cam Fowler. And talking to Cam Fowler, he said, you know, he skated with him, I think, in the first game against the Arizona Coyotes, and the chemistry was pretty instant between the two. And Cam said they like to do a lot of similar things, and they've really done a good job of kind of knowing what each one wants to do. And Cam, to his credit, he's you know, he's maturing as a player, and he said there's been times in the middle of games and shifts where they go back to the bench and they've kind of talked things out, and they're kind of working it out on the fly. But they've been a really good pair, and you look at the difference between the Chicago team and the Anaheim team on defense. I mean, the Ducks are sitting James Wisniewski, who would be, you know, in the top four right now at Chicago, potentially. I mean, this is it's amazing, the difference on D between these two teams.
Well, yeah, the Wisniewski situation, you know, $5.5 million cap hit sitting in the press box every night. And not because he's necessarily been horrible. It's just there's no one that's struggled on their blue line to risk taking him to take them out to put him back in.
Right. Like, who are you going to take out of that lineup? And then, meanwhile, you know, we're in Chicago, and Trevor Van Riemsdyk gets called up, we were kind of laughing because there was, you know, a million people around, you know, around his stall trying to talk to him, and it's become such a story here in Chicago about who's going to kind of round out that defense, because Kimo Timonen has struggled so much, you know, playing whatever he's playing, 5 or 6 minutes a game, and they've cycled guys in and out in that bottom pair, and you really, that's going to be a problem for this team. If even if they can get out of this round, you wonder if they can win a cup with that defense.
Greg Hustins from ESPN, their senior NHL hockey writer, joins us. Freddie Anderson has been outstanding for the Ducks. I know, you know, it still seems that John Gibson has a brighter light. Maybe that's finally changed now in Anaheim. But it seems, at least before in the regular season, all the people I talked to in Anaheim and hockey guys around the world, most felt like that's who they were going to hitch their horse to long term, is John Gibson. Do you think that's still going to be the case sometime next season?
Boy, I don't know. It's funny. He was my Calder pick going into the season. I'm a John Gibson fan, and you saw shades of just how good he could be when he played in the playoffs last year, and still a young goalie. I mean, you don't know how it's going to pan out, but if the Ducks, I mean, you're right. Frederick Anderson's been outstanding, and you can kind of see the confidence grow in him. He plays with such a calm presence in goal. He's got that great glove, and I, you know, I don't know how you possibly turn things over to John Gibson even now. I mean, as good as he's been, or if they win a Stanley Cup, you know, you've got a goalie situation there, and really, I mean, you think about it, maybe that's a guy, if you're another team and you need a good young goalie, you try to pry away from Bob Murray and John Gibson.
The Ducks, when I look at them, the makeup of Chicago, and especially with Chicago's struggles on the third pairing, Craig, right now, you know what? I think the Ducks are the favorite. I know they're, you know, it's only 2-1, long ways to go in the series, but, you know, sure. Anaheim's blue line depth, I'm just not sure Chicago's going to be able to overcome their lack of depth right now in the third pairing.
I know, and I picked the Blackhawks to win this series, and I picked them to win the Stanley Cup, and now kind of seeing this up close and watching it play out, yeah, I'm with you. Like, I would say the Ducks have now kind of seized control of the series. You look especially at the play at even strength, and the Ducks are outperforming them pretty considerably, getting all kinds of zone time. And the Blackhawks were a little reliant on that power play, and we saw what happened last game when the power play dries up. So, you know, if the Ducks are going to continue to kind of be dominant at even strength, it's going to be their series to lose. But I agree with you on that.
Lastly, the Mike Babcock situation, of course, you know, created waves all over the place in the NHL, you know, just because the salary, uncharted territories for a head coach to be making $6.25 million for the next 8 years. Like, coaches never even get eight-year deals, never mind at $6.25 million. What do you think this does for guys like with Joel Quenneville and other coaches? Like, is Quenneville automatically now a $5 million coach, or is this really a major exception to the rule for Babcock?
No, boy, I don't know. I think it's the same as players. You use comparables, and I don't think this was the driving force in Mike's decision, but I know part of it was he wanted to raise the tide of all the coaching salaries, and he has certainly done it. It was funny. There was in the press conference yesterday, Cam Cole asked Joel Quenneville, he said, you know, Mike Babcock got that salary and you've got two cups to his one. Maybe, you know, what's your net worth now? And you can see Joel start to smile but you know, it's absolutely true. I mean, this is, you got a taste of what these coaches are really worth on the open market. And so now when guys like Joel Quenneville and some of these other high-end coaches go to do their next deal, they're going to say, yeah, you know, 275 or three, that's not enough anymore. This is what we're worth. And I think it does raise the tide a little bit.
Craig, always great to catch up with you. Enjoy your next karaoke session with LeBron. We'll have to let him give us maybe show us an example next time we have him on the show.
Oh, yeah. Thanks, Jason. Thanks for having me.
Appreciate it. Craig Cousins from ESPN. I